Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts.
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcast. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
All right, now we actually have a solid bet. In the last segment, we talked about the Holly Holm, Chris Cyborg fight, and Will and I have actually made an official bet. If Chris Cyborg does what she does best, and that is chew her opponents up and spit them out, yours truly, Tate, your host, will have to do a grand total of 150 push-ups in 3 hours. 3 hours. I got this. No problem. I'm not even going to train for this because I don't have to worry, because my girl Holly got me covered. But if the Eli Manning, the legend killer, Holly Holm comes through, nails Cyborg with that high kick and wins, my co-host, my great friend, Will, has to do 300 push-ups in an hour and a half. Not one, not two, but a 3 push-ups in an hour and a half. How you feeling, Will?
I'm doing great. I feel great. I'm going to be able to knock it down.
Will said he's just going to be training for push-ups this whole thing.
I'm just going to train to do push-ups just for my general health and wellness.
I'm not doing jack. I'm eating donuts this whole thing going up to it. Matter of fact, I may
bring a Big Mac to the fight that night just to eat it.
That's a lot of time I gave you. I should have made it an hour. I should have made mine. I can't do 300 push-ups in 30 minutes. That's just ridiculous. Man, yep. Can I?
No,
no, you can't.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
I can't do it.
Hey, and everything's signed. We already got it signed.
Yeah, we wrote up a contract here. Yes. We got all signed up.
We wrote up a contract, and it is official. I got 3 hours to do 150 push-ups. That I can do, first off, everyone, I can knock out 50 right now, untrained, fat, bloated. So I can knock out 50. Go take a nap for an hour, eat some Twinkies, come back, do another 50, and then struggle through that last 50.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm aiming for. That struggle. That's all I need to...
That last 50, if I lose, that last 50 is going to kick my butt. The 100, I got that. The 150, that's going to hurt. But not like my man Will. 300 push-ups. That's crazy. But Will, I know Will. Will will get there. And Will, matter of fact, starting tonight, Will's going to be starting to gear up for push-ups. Are you not?
You're right. I already visualized it.
Mentally, you're doing push-ups.
I'm already doing it right now.
Right now, you're doing push-ups,
yep,
aren't you?
I'm already doing it.
So,
but I won't need to do them.
So,
I won't need to do these push-ups at all.
So, there we have it. Now, let's talk about some of the other fights, because we haven't had a show in a little while. And so, let's talk about some of the fights that have just recently passed here. And the big one is, you know, the whole fight between Francis Ngannou versus I was about to say Fabricio Verdum. That wasn't Fabricio. That was, help me. I keep saying,
Alistair Overeem.
Yes, Alistair. First off, something that everyone in the know has been saying this. Everyone, I mean, you know, Francis Ngannou is just a beast of a man. And he really, really proved it. And now he's scheduled to fight for the heavyweight title against a very, you know, against one of my favorite Ohio guys here. And wait, we're looking at,
yeah, we're looking at UFC 220.
Yeah, UFC 220 is when he's going to be fighting Stipe, which is kind of a fast turnaround. And
you did not take any damage.
He took no damage at all.
He doled out so much damage.
You know what? I that was one of the few times. MMA is such a violent sport, but it's super safe compared to boxing. That Alistair Overeem fight was the first time I was truly worried about a fighter in the ring. When Francis hit him with that shot and it landed, and he just stayed there stiff for over a minute, just stiff as a board, I was really, truly concerned for Alistair's, you know, well-being. I mean, I remember Joe Rogan saying his feet are still curled up. I mean, he was just frozen. What did you think about that fight? And what do you think about his chances against Stipe?
I was really kind of confused with why Alistair was kind of throwing a lot of loopy, unorthodox punches. But maybe he was thinking that Ngannou would not be ready for that. So I saw a lot of openings that Ngannou could capitalize on, and he definitely did capitalize on them. And that knockout was nasty. His chin went almost vertical. Like, it was just... And his whole body froze up. That was one of the most devastating knockouts I've ever seen. The only knockout I would put over it, as far as me being concerned about the health of the fighter, would probably be the Michael Venom Page knee to Evangelista Cyborg, where he actually dented his head.
Now, see, here's the crazy thing. I saw both of those, and I still say Francis Ngannou's knockout was more devastating than even that which put a knee-sized dent in Cyborg's head. It just seemed that...
There's just so much power in it.
Yeah, I mean, Alistair's head just went straight back where it was like, I was worried that he hurt his neck or something like that. I'd never seen anything like that. And I think back to Alistair... when he fought Stipe. And remember when Alistair cracked Stipe? And Stipe,
yeah, well, it was a straight punch.
Francis hits even harder. If he makes the same mistake that he made, that Stipe makes the same mistake he made with Alistair, he won't get a chance to get out of there. And as far as what Alistair did, I understood his game plan. He got in there, and he was trying to smother him. He was trying to cover him up. He was trying to hit him with hard shots that would make him respect his power. That was his game plan, to cover him up and hit him with hard shots that would make him respect the power. The difference is when he tried to tie him up, Francis was ready for it. And also, I think he was a little surprised that Francis was a lot stronger than he had experienced before. And so I thought that was a surprise. And then when he got nailed, he just shut off. And so I understood his game plan, but in acting the game plan, maybe you should have rethought that game plan. But yeah, I think if you had that fight again, I think the outcome would be the same.
I think so too. But I think the only way that you can really beat Ngannou at this point in his career is to stick and move and try your best to just really land quick shots and get out of there as soon as possible. And just know that if he touches you, his lights out, which is anybody in the heavyweight division. It's just that I think with this fight, what intrigues me is that Miocic has very technical boxing skills, and he comes from a Golden Gloves background. So I give him a better chance of being able to like capitalize on the openings there and see, being able to bring him into deeper waters.
I don't see it as the wrestling. As the boxing. I think it's the wrestling skill that's going to have to be the key. And yet, have you seen anyone take him down yet?
We saw Curtis Blaydes take him down for a brief amount of time.
Did I miss that fight? I don't ever remember seeing him going down. So how did he handle being on the mat?
I don't think he was on the ground for very long, and he just got back up, or time ran out.
I thought I saw all of Francis's fights.
That was the closest fight and the most adversity that he's faced in his career. I believe he was taken to the ground. I'd have to review it again, but I don't think it showed anything of significance.
And you know what? I'm going to tell you this. He has advanced light years since working at the UFC Institute. You know, even going back and watching some of his old fights isn't really a good indicator of who you're going to step in the ring with.
Yeah, he's a completely new fighter, and it's scary how good he's becoming, and it's really scary his power. I mean, they measured his punch before this fight.
I know.
Yeah, he punches harder than anyone that's ever been recorded. He did not want to get hit by him.
That's Tyson, that's Holyfield, that's GSP, that's Cain Velasquez. He hits harder than all of them.
And it's not just, he has the muscles, but he also has the length. And that's what's scary about him. That's what makes him just
a frightening
figure. He's
fast, too. He has speed, too.
So fast.
It's crazy. First off, Stipe is the underdog. Could be one of the best, arguably one of the greatest heavyweight champions in UFC history. Is that crazy to say that?
It's not crazy.
One of the greatest heavyweight champions in UFC history, and he's going to be the underdog. And one of the guys I really like, he's from Cleveland. I'm from Cleveland, and I support him a lot. And I don't really see a game plan of how he wins.
You just have to be versatile and really bring it into deep waters, because we haven't seen Ngannou in deep waters. That's another thing. He's carrying a lot of muscle.
That's the reason why I kept saying that Fabricio is the one guy that can get him, because Fabricio fights a tactic of sometimes just laying hands on you, just keeping you at bay, you know, using boxing skills and movement. A lot of times Fabricio's very good at that,
but he does not have the chin to sustain the hits.
But see, I think that part's irrelevant. It's kind of crazy to say that. He hits so hard that everyone's chin is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Whether you have a weak chin or a strong chin, if he hits you, you're going to sleep. Do you not feel that way?
I feel that way. It's just that I think that some fighters are more defensively capable, and I don't see Fabricio as one of those fighters. I think Stipe has much better defense than
Stipe. Fabricio. I mean, I'm hoping that Stipe can take him to deep water. I think the one thing about big muscular fighters is the fact that as the fight goes on, the power reserves go away. And you have to survive that first round, because I think he's going to put you to sleep in the first round. I think after the first round, exponentially, the power goes down. And now I'm taking this approach from other larger, more muscular fighters and what happens to them. I really don't know what to expect with Francis Ngannou.
Yeah, I really don't. There's so many unknowns about him, and that's what makes him even scarier. Best of luck to Stipe Miocic. I mean, if anybody should be clamoring for more money and more pay to go into a fight, it should be based on risk, and it should be based on a lot of stuff like that as well. And there, honestly, I don't think there's a riskier fight than this fight.
I think there's a risk. It's crazy to say. This is the most dangerous fight Stipe would have ever had in his life.
Ever. Who do you have in this fight?
I got Francis. It breaks my heart to go against O-H. I'm from Ohio. I'm a big Stipe fan.
O-H.
There he goes. I got to take Francis. I have yet to see anyone figure out this this man, this beast of a man. I don't see an answer.
Yeah, I don't see an answer for that power. I really don't see an answer. I'm taking Francis as well. I'm taking it in the first round or second. I'm taking it in the first round. End of the first round.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I think he's going to knock him out in the first round. That's crazy to say that. I'm saying something. I'm giving you my prediction, and it's from someone who is a monstrous Stipe Miocic fan. I'm the guy, when he won the title, started calling up all my friends in Ohio and like, get behind this guy. He's the guy that brought the first championship to Cleveland in 50 years. It wasn't LeBron. It wasn't the Indians. It was Stipe Miocic, and the people of Ohio should get behind him. But I'm looking at a first round knockout. I just don't see anyone, until you figure this out, I don't see anyone making, like, stopping this guy.
I don't either. I really don't. Not if Cain Velasquez gets back, if Cain Velasquez and Junior Dos Santos are doing a 2v1, he still have a good shot.
Yeah.
I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I think I kind of feel like we're on the cusp of seeing greatness. And what I mean by that is, when I was younger, remember when when Mike Tyson started coming along and he was fighting, and what happened, and how Tyson was, there was a point where Tyson was fighting like every other month. Francis Ngannou could be that next Tyson. With the power that he has, it could happen. This could be the biggest, and you talk about bringing the UFC on. If you have a dominant heavyweight champion, that changes everything.
Everyone wants to watch a heavyweight fight. There is nobody.
When you have a power-packed heavyweight champion, you can print money by that guy. And, this is a guy I think that's going to be, could be that guy.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's GSMCpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Now, real quick, before we wrap things up here, I wanted to talk about some of the other fights that have happened that we haven't had a chance to cover. What was your thought also on this card, UFC 218, about Max Holloway and Jose Aldo? Just take a couple minutes.
I was really happy with that fight. It showed the championship spirit of both of them. I just think that Holloway just has Aldo's number. Maybe I don't think that Aldo's lost a step, honestly. I just think that the game has changed and adapted to the point where he can't be as dominant as he once was. I think he beats everyone else in the division, though. It's just that Holloway is a next level champion. He's more well rounded. He has better cardio. He's bigger. He's longer. He just had all the answers for Aldo. And in Aldo's defense, he put up a great fight. It's just that he wasn't able to have the cardio to stay in with it. He was taking too many shots. He got lured into a slugfest. And Holloway knew that he could take Aldo's power. So it was just a matter of time. And the end came in the third round, towards the end of the third round. And I thought it was a fair stoppage. I thought the referee gave Aldo all the chances possible. Aldo showed a lot of heart trying to get out of it, but you're not defending yourself intelligently, and it was a repeat of the first fight in that sense, and it was just over from that point on.
All right. I'm going to say it this way, as Max Holloway won with a third-round stoppage. Nothing surprised me in this fight, not even a second. As a matter of fact, I'm surprised it wasn't more dominant. And I agree with you that Jose Aldo has not lost a step. Jose Aldo is still the same man who defended the title for a decade. He's just as good. He's not old. He hasn't lost a step. But the new quad-core processors have come out, and they're doing calculations just way too fast. He's a Pentium One processing computer, and he still can do calculations and play the old Tecmo Bowl games on his computer. But now the Max Holloway, he's doing Call of Duty, and he's doing your taxes, and he's doing everything else because he's multitasking. He's just that much better than him. And I don't care if they fight again. Jose Aldo needs to pack up his suitcase and go to a different division, because no matter how many times he fights, he's going to get destroyed by Max Holloway. They're just not on the same page any longer.
Yeah, and I don't even see going up in weight would be a good decision for him. I don't even see him possibly losing enough muscle and draining himself to go into the bantamweight division either. So I don't think this gets better for Jose Aldo. I think this is his run as a champion was the best that he could have done.
Yeah, I just don't see. Then other thing would be to just sit there and hold your time and hope that, you know, I think a wrestler may be the one, like a Frankie or
Chad is coming.
Chad
back
Mendes,
as well.
Those are two guys that could make it really ugly for Max Holloway, make it an ugly, rough kind of grappling kind of a fight. And that's where I think Max can, you can take Max. But on standing up, there's no answer for Max Holloway in that division whatsoever. And there's no equal to Max Holloway in that division whatsoever. Because Connor's not coming back down. Connor's not coming back down to fight in that division. So it's a wrap there. I just think it's that division's just over. Unless somebody can use grappling to handle Max for the next foreseeable future, Max is the champion here. I just think he's that far ahead of everyone else.
Yeah, and I don't even see Chad and Frankie faring well. I don't see them being able to continue to implement the grappling game on him while getting it hit in the face with a lot of stand up that he has to throw at them. I think if Connor was to go back down, that would be the best fight that we would be able to see. And at that point, it's very interesting.
And that's the last person to make Max Holloway look mortal.
Yeah, definitely. That was the only person in UFC history that... Well, actually, it changed with since Diaz fights. But that was the first person that Connor took to a decision.
Right. Now, let's talk about another fight on this card. And as you were talking about UFC 218, and we just talked about Francis Ngannou over Alistair Overeem and Max Holloway. And the reason why we're talking about that fight is just because we had not had a show since then. The best fight, I'm going to say my favorite fight in the history, not of the UFC, but of all mixed martial arts. My favorite fight ever. Eddie Alvarez, Justin Gaethje.
That was your favorite fight ever?
Ever.
That was an amazing fight.
Ever. Do you agree that, you know, if it's not your favorite fight, it has to be one of your greatest fights of all time. Am I off?
It's in my top 10.
Ooh, you said top 10. I'm saying, in my eyes, number one. So what? Let me guess. It's going to be it's going to be Fedor versus who? I know you love
your
Fedor.
No, there's no Fedor fight that goes to top. When I'm thinking about a competitive fight between two individuals that really goes to distance, I have to have it go back and forth. And Fedor definitely didn't do that back in the day. Let's just be... And to be honest, I think Justin has had even a better fight in the UFC against Michael Johnson. I thought that fight was more entertaining.
I want you to go sit in the corner and think about your words.
I think the level...
And I want you to write on the board 10,000 times, I'm sorry for betting Tate about Cyborg because I'm making bad takes right now.
No, I'm not making a bad take. I think that fight was more evenly matched.
Yeah, I mean, it's evenly matched, but it just stands for pure entertainment. I understand as far as you like the give and take on both sides. I thought these two guys really went at it.
I thought they really went at it, but I had Eddie winning a lot of these exchanges more so than Gaethje.
Oh, I agree with you. Yes.
So that was why it was hard for me to kind of give it to him, because I saw some type of advantage. I'm not going to say dominance, but I saw advantages. And then I loved how Justin Gaethje was fighting back with the leg kicks and really incorporating that in the game. And it was really back and forth in that battle. But as far as like one of the greatest fights of all time, I wouldn't give it that.
I didn't say greatest fight. I said my favorite.
Oh, I know that. I know. I'm just saying that.
There's a difference between the greatest fight and my favorite fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Eddie Alvarez, this does a lot for him and gets him right back in the title picture. Do you agree?
I do, but I would also like to see him fight Dustin Poirier again.
Well, yeah, but see, I'm just saying it gets him in the title picture.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He definitely needed that.
Justin Gaethje, I think, is in trouble. And let me tell you why. The one thing about Justin Gaethje was the fact that he had that mentality of, I'm going for broke. And it bit him in the butt. And he's been knocked out now. I think he needs to change his style. But if he changes his style, he's not the same fighter anymore. I don't think it's one of those things where no one ever thought that he was always going to be an entertaining fighter, but the style that he has, like the fight before this one, he got rocked. There's guys that hit harder, a lot more accurate, that's going to crack him. And if he wants to be a champion contender, he has to go back to the drawing board and change his entire style, which is going to be really hard. Am I off on that?
I don't think you're off, but I also don't think that he cares too much. I literally think he's a fighter to fight. I think he always used to say that I'm either going there to kill the guy, I'm going to knock him out, or I'm going to get knocked out. And I know I'm going to lose eventually, and I'll be happier with a loss via knockout than I would be losing a decision or even winning by a decision. That's the type of person he is.
I think it's just a bad way to fight. I think it puts him in a really... I just don't think if a title is in his pitch in his future, this is it's proved to be a bad style.
And I agree with you that it's a bad style if you want to be at the top echelon of this game. But as far as entertaining fighter and someone that I always love to watch, he's right up there.
All right, now let's move on to this past weekend's fight with Cub Swanson and Brian Ortega, where Brian Ortega had a second round stoppage guillotine choke. What does this do? What does this fight do for these two guys? Brian, does it? Do you think Brian Ortega deserves a title shot first off? And what does this do for Cub Swanson?
If Frankie Edgar wasn't waiting in the wings, I think that it would be a great next move. But Frankie's waiting in the wings, so Brian can wait as well, or he can get another fight. But it was a really elevating fight for him as far as his career goes.
I personally think Brian Ortega needs to have one more fight before he gets a title shot. I don't have him ready for a title shot yet. I think he needs to prove it. Another fight would get him to where he needs to be.
Would you like to see an easier fight, or would you like to see him fight someone like Chad Mendes on his comeback? Because Chad is coming off a loss.
No,
so I think Chad needs to fight. Who do you want to see fight?
It's going to sound crazy. Jose Aldo.
I want to see Jose Aldo and Chad fight.
I don't. That's been done.
Yeah, but they're both at a similar stage in their careers where they're trying to rebound from losses.
I think by putting Chad, I think Chad Mendes, I think it'd be too smart to take a fight like that. It doesn't, I don't think it only hurts him. He's coming off a suspension. His last time anyone remembers him fighting is losing to Conor McGregor. I wouldn't take that fight if I was Chad Mendes. But Jose Aldo, I think Jose would take this fight against Brian Ortega because, you know, he wants, and this would get him a championship level fighter going, you know, if he wins, he's guaranteed the next fight. That's my thoughts. But it's also a very dangerous fight where if Brian loses this fight, then who does Holloway fight next?
Yeah. They would,
but you can't give Chad Mendes a title shot. So
they could.
You could, but it's just a bad decision.
Yeah.
I you know what? I take it back. I think they have no choice. Frankie Edgar, I think Brian Ortega. No, they have to give Brian Ortega a fight. Because if you think about it, Frankie Edgar, that fight's not going to happen for a while.
No, it may happen summer. Next year.
Yeah, summer.
Maybe earlier. Maybe April.
Oh, let's compromise and say May.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's May, that fight happens in May. And then let's say it's a battle and let's say he wins. And let's say Jose Aldo wins. Then you're talking about June, July, August, September, October. So you're talking about October before Brian Ortega fights again, which would be almost a year.
Yeah.
He has to fight. He has to fight somebody. You know what I mean? It's not going to be Max Holloway, who Max Holloway just fought a very tough fight now. Earliest I say he's going to fight is May. That puts him at one more fight this year in 2018. That puts it way down. Ortega has to fight somebody. And it has to be a tough fighter. He's already taken out Cub. Is he going to take a fight that's going to a guy that's way down the line? So the most logical person really is if Frankie Edgar is fighting Max Holloway, then Jose Aldo versus Ortega. Sounds about right.
Yeah, I can see that. I just want Jose to get some rest. Honestly, I'm looking at it from his perspective. He's just lost twice in a row in a devastating fashion.
It's a bad decision, but there's no one else for Brian Ortega to fight.
Yeah, and I like his chances against Jose Aldo. Yes, to be honest,
isn't that kind of crazy that we've gone to the point where it's like Jose Aldo is now a placeholder.
Well, he's been slightly undersized for a very long time. Ever since he got into UFC, the only person that was his not like size wise comparatively was Chad Mendes.
Right. No, I agree with you.
So it's just something about Brian Ortega where he can just notch a submission out of nowhere, and that's what's so dangerous about him. He's a next level jiu-jitsu and mixed martial arts.
Now, and then the last thing we're going to talk about is, what are we talking about here today? We're going to actually talk about the upcoming fight in the UFC, which is tomorrow night's fight. And tell me, who do you have for... Do I have this here? Let's see. What's the main event? Sorry about that. Here it is.
The main event would be Robbie Lawler versus Rafael Dos Anjos.
Who do you have and why?
I have Dos Anjos. Lawler's coming off a long layoff since he got knocked out. He literally just came back. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. He hasn't fought that great of a competition, though. Forgive me, Cowboy, but you're not at the level that you used to be.
I kind of thought Cowboy was a lot closer than people thought.
I just don't... It was a close fight between them, but I think Rafael Dos Anjos is another level. He's fit into this weight class very well. He doesn't have to cut weight anymore. He's shown a lot of what made him successful as champion in the lightweight division. And I think he cracks Lawler and gets a knockout to win this one.
I have Rafael Dos Anjos winning as well. And the reason why I have it is Lawler loves to swing. He loves to apply pressure early in the fight. And he likes to throw a lot of looping shots, where Rafael dos Anjos likes to engage, but he likes to engage with like overhand rights, jabs, straight down the pipe type shots, where I think makes Lawler very vulnerable, where Lawler has been caught and has been stopped. I have Rafael dos Anjos winning in early, like first, second round. You're looking at me like I'm crazy again.
No, I would say second round. I would agree. Second, third. But we're generally looking at a knockout.
Yeah. So that's what I have for this fight. We're going to wrap it up with any thoughts on... They're going to be starting the Bellator event for the Grand Prix.
Yeah, that's going to be
any January. Bellator thing that you want to talk about?
I'm looking forward to the fight between Rory McDonald and Douglas Lima. And I'm looking forward to that first... I'm actually getting more intrigued as time goes by with that Chael Sonnen and Rampage Jackson fight. Just mainly for the theatrics of it.
I am too. The funny thing is, I don't know who's going to win.
Me neither.
I'm taking Chael just because of the wrestling. I think if Chael can get him on the ground early, I think Rampage will run out of gas fast and it'll be a wrap.
I would lean more towards Rampage hitting him with a shot.
Yeah, I know. I would agree. Rampage, I think only shot is to land a big shot in that first round. And if he does not land that shot, I'm switching it up to Chael.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I just really want to see the theatrics, because if you guys haven't paid attention to Rampage Jackson earlier on in his career, the man could promote. He has a very interesting and unique sense of humor. And Chael Sonnen comes from those old wrestling promo days, and he's always been entertaining.
So far, both of those guys have been quite subdued so far when you see the interviews. I'm a little surprised at how... I was expecting this to be the big promo fight to kick it off, and I think that's kind of what Bellator was expecting. But so far, the first two interviews that I've heard from both of those guys hasn't been a barn burner.
Maybe as the time goes by and the fight gets closer, they'll get a little bit more agitated with a weight cut or something. No, they don't even have to weight cut. Oh, my God.
I was going to say, weight cut my what?
Yeah, maybe just fight weak emotions gets in there, and maybe we'll see something. But I miss the good old days with both of them. And so, hopefully it's going to be good.
All right. And with that, we are going to wrap this episode up. I'd like to thank my my co-host, Will, who is going to have to do 300 push-ups for accepting my Cyborg versus Holly Holm challenge. And if for some reason Holly Holm loses, guys, pray for me, because I can do 100, but not 150. And with that, we are out.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.